Chapter 43. Usually, Gareth summoned his concubines to his rooms, but sometimes he liked to surprise them. Magdalen Drake had entertained him for a long time, but as always, his interest was beginning to wane. Tonight he'd woken, hours past midnight, with the infernal itch and a headache and an idea. He would enter silently and wake Magdalen roughly. He loved Magdalen's scream. He would beat her savagely and accuse her of plotting against him. If she begged and swore it wasn't true, like most frightened women would, he'd throw her off the balcony. If she cursed him, he would bang her, matching her defiance with an equal degree of brutality, and she would live another day. Before he left, he would hold her tenderly in his arms and whisper that he was sorry, that he loved her. Decent women always wanted to see something good in him. He shivered in anticipation. He extended the veer through the closed door, hoping to detect the even sound of her breathing in sleep. Instead, he felt something different. She was awake. Gareth opened the door, but she didn't notice him. She was sitting on her bed, facing the open door to her railless balcony. She was dressed only in a thin nightgown, but she didn't seem to feel the cold air blowing in the open door. She was rocking back and forth. He swore loudly. She didn't respond. He touched her skin, and it, too, was cold. She must have been sitting like this for hours. Other concubines had pretended madness in an attempt to escape his attentions. Maybe Magdalen Drake was the same. Gareth slapped her and she fell off the bed. She didn't cry out. Grabbing a fistful of dark hair, Gareth dragged her onto the balcony. Coming right to the edge, he pulled her to her feet. He grabbed her throat in one thick hand and pushed her back until her toes were barely on the edge. His fingers wrapped almost all the way around her throat. He took care to choke her as little as possible, but if he released her, she would fall. Her eyes finally came into focus. The shadow of death tended to have that effect on people.
"Why?" Magdalen asked sadly. "Why do you do this?"
He looked at her, confused. The answer was so obvious that he wasn't sure he'd understood the question.
"It pleases me," he said.
And strangely, but Magdalen Drake had always been a strange girl. It was part of why she appealed to him. Magdalen smiled. She pulled toward him, but not like a woman dangling off a precipice would pull toward her only hope of life. She kissed him. If it was an act, it was a damn convincing one. If her mind had broken, it had broken in an intriguing way. Magdalen Drake kissed him, and Gareth swore it was with real desire. His arousal came back stronger than ever as she climbed him, her lean young legs wrapping around his waist. He thought of taking her back inside, but it was impossible to stay fully in control, about to make love with a woman who might be trying to kill him. She kissed her way to his ears.
"I've been listening to you and Neff," she said, washing her hot breath back in his ear.
He usually didn't let his concubines talk while he fucked them, unless they were cursing him, but Gareth didn't want to destroy this fragile insanity. Magdalen kissed him again, then pulled away. She leaned back, holding him with her legs. She let go of his neck and leaned back. He grabbed onto her legs to keep her from plunging to her death. Upside down, she waved her arms above her head, looking over the castle and the city below, laughing. Gareth's pulse pounded loud in his ears. He didn't even care who might be watching. Whatever kind of madness this was intoxicating.
She shimmied her hips and said something again.
What?
He asked. Let go, she said. She seemed to have a tight grip with her legs, so he let go, ready to catch her with the veer if need be. He wasn't going to let this end without taking his pleasure, not now. Magdalene tugged her nightgown free from where it was trapped between their bodies and stripped it off. She dropped it over the edge, laughing again as the flimsy cloth spun toward the flagstones below. Then she sat up and kissed Gareth again, pressing her young body against him. She stripped his robe back roughly. Then she burrowed into him, moaning as her skin touched his, warm against warm in the cold night air. She nuzzled his neck. I heard you talking about the Night Angel, she said. Kylar Stern. I want you to know something, she whispered in his ear, making him shiver. What the hell was she saying? Kylar's my brother. He's coming for me, you dirty fucker, and if I don't kill you, he will. She bit his carotid artery as hard as she could and tried to throw them both off the edge. The veer reacted before Gareth could, exploding at his neck. The veer lashed from his limbs, flinging him inside, even as Magdalene Drake spun out into space. He stood shakily and summoned Neff. The Verdmeister found him standing on the balcony, staring at the ruin of the young woman crushed in the courtyard below.
Take care of her, Neff. Tell Trudonna I expect the best, the God King said, greatly moved. Hers was a great spirit.
Shall I? The Lodrakare coughed his fake cough, and Gareth hated him anew. Shall I send in another concubine? He pointedly didn't look toward the evidence of Gareth's continued arousal.
Yes,
Gareth said tersely. Curse you, Kali.
Yes.
If you'll excuse us, Count Drake, Terra Grayson said. I have need of your quarters. Count Drake limped out on his cane and several guards took up position outside his tent. Kylar was still reeling. Terra Grayson knew Durzo. That meant he was supposed to know her, and he didn't. If she knew Durzo, that meant she knew Durzo through his work. That meant she had hired him. So, she said. Logan's alive. That's terrific. Terra Grayson had a silky, low voice. It was reputed to be sexy, but then everything about Terra Grayson was supposed to be sexy. Kylar didn't see it. Oh, she was pretty. She had a wide mouth, full lips, and the kind of figure that was unattainable for the majority of noble women who spent their days doing nothing more strenuous than issuing orders to the servants. Maybe it was that she was a little too self-consciously good-looking. She wore lots of makeup, expertly applied and subtle, but lots, and had tweezed her eyebrows down to tiny lines. The truth was, she held herself like he ought to admire her, and it pissed him off. What pissed him off more was that, to look her in the eye with his disguise, he had to stare straight at her admittedly perky breasts. Damn it! Why were breasts so intriguing? So, who's paying you to save Logan Gyre? She asked. You don't really expect me to answer that, Kylar said. The only card he had to play was that Blint tended to be blunt and secretive. If she knew him, she'd know that much. Master Blint, she said, seeming to come to a decision, but still speaking in that same consciously sexy voice. You're the only man I know who's killed two kings. How much can I pay you to kill a third?
What? You want me to kill the God King?
No. Simply don't save Logan Gyre. I'll double whatever your employer is paying.
What?
Kylar asked.
Why? You need all the allies you can get right now. Logan would bring thousands to your banners.
Well, the problem is... Well, can you keep a secret, Durzo?
She smiled. Would you trust a murderer with your secrets?
I knew you'd say that,
she said triumphantly, almost giggling.
You said the same thing last time. Remember?
It's been a while, Kylar said, his throat constricting.
Well, I'm glad you remembered long enough to kill my father.
Kylar blinked.
Tell me, did you do it before or after you killed King Gunder?
I'm paid to kill, not to talk about it.
Gods! Her own father? And that's why I can trust you. Though I will remind you that I've already given you money for not killing me, so you can't do to me what I did to my father.
Of course not.
It took him a second to puzzle it out. She must have met Durzo when the wet boy had taken a job for her father, Duke Gordon Grayson. Perhaps Gordon had hired Durzo to kill King Davin. Duke Grayson must have thought Regnus Gyre would become king after King Davin died, thereby making Gordon's other daughter, Katrina, a queen. Logan's mother, Katrina Grayson, had been Terra's half-sister, though older than Terra by almost 20 years.
So, why let Logan die? He asked.
Because I don't give up things that belong to me easily, Durzo Blint, as you know.
Don't you think you might want to worry about taking the throne from the Caladorans before you worry about murdering your allies?
I don't need a civics lesson. Are you interested in making money for doing nothing, or do you wish to make me your enemy? I will be queen one day, and you'll find me an implacable foe.
7,000 crowns, Kylar said. How do I know you're good for it? If the Caladorans wipe you out, I'm not getting stiffed.
She smiled. Now there's the Durzo Blint I remember. She pulled a fat ring off her finger with an even fatter ruby in it. Please don't pawn it. It belonged to my father, and it's not worth even half of the 8,000 I'll give you for it after I take the throne. There'll be a bonus if you bring me proof of Logan's death.
Fair enough, Kylar said.
I foresee some of my allies becoming problematic in the future. I'll have other jobs for you. That is, if you haven't lost your edge.
What's that supposed to mean?
When you didn't answer my summons a month ago, I had to go elsewhere.
You'll never find anyone as good as me.
That, at least, was classic Durzo Blint. Terra Grayson licked her lips, and her eyes filled with a sudden hunger. Kylar didn't recognize the look, but he didn't like it, whatever it was. She smiled. What was she waiting for? Me to make a pass at her?
The moment passed.
Well then, good day, she said, in a level tone that didn't tell Kylar whether he was right or wrong. She stepped close to him to kiss each of his cheeks. It put his real face right at the level of her chest, but he was lucky. She didn't lean close enough to touch either his real lips with her breast or his phantom cheek with her lips. The illusion stayed intact. As soon as she was gone, he fled. He jumped on his horse and went north out of the camp, worried that Terra might have someone watching the western exit. He shifted his disguise so that Durzo's face was where his own was, rather than above it, so that he could see the guard's expression. The guards let him out without question, however, and when he was a mile out, he began to let down his guard. His heart was still pounding as he thought about what this meant for Logan. Even if he got his friend out of the mall, the road ahead wouldn't be easy. At least now he would know who his enemies were. Kylar entered a thin stretch of trees when something whispered coolly in his mind. Duck!
What?
He said aloud. An arrow drove through Kylar's chest. It rocked him back in the saddle, but his horse kept walking, oblivious. Kylar coughed blood. He'd made so many mistakes, Durzo would never have forgiven him for his carelessness. letting down his guard, going back to the path when he'd worried someone might have been sent after him, taking his own horse rather than stealing someone else's. It only took one mistake to get you killed, and he'd made many.
Gods, his lungs burned.
I told you to duck. A shadowy form stepped out from behind a tree and took his horse's reins in one hand, holding a sword in the other. The wet boy let down his shadows. They weren't nearly as good as Durzo's, never mind Kylar's. It was scarred rabble.
Well, son of a bitch, the wet boy said. Durzo Blint? Shit!
Howdy, Ben, Kylar said.
Son of a bitch was right. He'd kept the Durzo disguise, and if he'd kept it at Durzo's height, Ben Rabble would have shot his arrow right over Kylar's shoulder. It was taking more and more effort to maintain the Durzo disguise, and Kylar was painfully aware that it was important he do so. If Terra thought she'd killed Durzo, Kylar could come back. That had its own set of problems, but far fewer than revealing that he was both Durzo Blint and Kylar Stern, and immortal.
Shit, Durzo!
I didn't even know it was you. That uppity Grayson bitch said special job, easy, pay you double. What the hell you riding on the path for, Dee?
Just... Kylar coughed. Made a mistake.
It only takes one, I guess. Shit, buddy. I would have fought you, at least.
I would have killed you,
Kylar said. He was stirred by a sudden panic. What if this was his last life? He had no guarantee that he would come back. The wolf had never explained it. Gods, he'd been totally crazy when he'd let Baron Kirov kill him for money.
Probably.
Scarred Rabble swore again. He'd gained his nickname from the innumerable scars he had on his face. He'd come to Cenaria as a child from somewhere in Friaku and spent time as a slave. He was one of the few men who'd gained his freedom from the fighting pits. Kylar thought the scars were self-inflicted, but the man spoke without an accent. Whatever rituals he practiced, he'd learned from rumors about the Friaki, not from observation.
How am I supposed to brag about this, Durzo? I just shot you with a goddamn arrow. That's no way to kill the world's greatest wet boy.
Seems to be working all right.
Kylar coughed.
Shit!
Ben said, disgusted.
Make something up,
Kylar said. He sprayed more blood again as he coughed. He'd forgotten dying was so much fun.
I can't do that, Rabble said. It dishonors the dead. They hunt you if you do that.
I feel really fucking sorry for you,
Kylar said. He was slipping out of the saddle. He hit the ground with a thump and smacked the back of his head on the ground. But whatever he'd done, the disguise held. Ben scowled.
Wait,
he said, working it out. Scarred Rabble had never been the brightest torch on the wall.
You mean it would honor you more if people thought you'd been killed in heroic combat?
Scarred Rabble asked. He liked the idea.
You'd let me say that and not haunt me? I'd make you sound good, I swear.
Depends, Kylar said.
His vision was already beginning to white out.
Are you going to hack anything off my corpse?
That would be just his luck. He'd wake up without a head or something. How would that work? Would he die for real if someone took his head?
The bitch did want proof. Take her the ring. Take my horse, my clothes, whatever you need. But leave my body alone. Say you're superstitious or something, and you can tell the story however you want. Just put my body...
Kylar lost the thought. His head was getting thick. He thought he could feel his heart laboring as blood spilled inside his chest.
Fair enough. You ready, friend?
Ben asked. Kylar nodded. Ben Rabble stabbed him through the heart.